The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to Resilient Butterfly, the podcast for the people who are just as confused about life as I am. I'm your host, Nay, full-time nursing student, dog mom, and gym junkie, who is here to share my own mistakes and hardships to maybe guide you on how to make your life a little easier. I'm here to share what tools I use to have an uplifting outlook on life, and how I keep in touch with my spirituality, despite how messed up the universe may seem. Let's learn and grow together. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the second episode of this 10-part series of Resilient Butterfly. So today's episode is the realm of transpersonal psychology and what exactly it has done for me. So in today's topic, we are going to go through the basic definition of what exactly transpersonal psychology is. I'll give some examples of transpersonal psychology concepts within that realm, and also tie it all in together with what exactly that has done for me. So, as I mentioned in last week's episode, I really want to start off each episode with a quote of the day. So, today's quote of the day is, "Knowing your own darkness is the best method for dealing with the darkness of others," by Carl Jung. Let's take a moment to sit with this quote and allow yourself to establish what it means to you. So, when I hear this quote, it first thing that comes to mind is our insecurities. And what I believe that this quote is trying to say is you need to take the time to establish your own insecurities, which in this reference, it's referring to your own darkness. You have to learn what those are within yourself, so that you don't project those onto other people. Something I actually learned is that a lot of times when we're insecure about something, we project those insecurities onto other people. So I believe that's what this quote is talking about. It's really important to remind yourself of your own flaws so that you don't project those darknesses onto other people. And to move on to today's topic, so I wanted to start off with a definition as to what exactly transpersonal psychology is. I'm sure this might actually be the first time hearing this branch of psychology for a lot of you people, and I'm so excited to be able to share my knowledge on this topic with you guys. So, okay. According to the American Psychological Association, transpersonal psychology is an area of humanistic psychology that focuses on the exploration of nature, varieties, causes, and the effects of higher states of consciousness and transcendental experiences. Transpersonal refers to the concern with the ends that transcend personal identity and individual immediate desires. And within this definition on the APA website, it also refers to the definition of being cognitive when defining transpersonal psychology. And according to APA, being cognitive involves a dialectical blending of two ways of experiencing. In first, a person is aware of the whole universe and the interrelatedness of everything within it, including the perceiver. In the second, a person becomes entirely focused on a single object, which could be a natural phenomenon, a work of art, or a person, to the extent that the rest of the universe, including the perceiver, seems to disappear. So, that was definitely a bit of heavy definitions thrown your way. And kind of to summarize it in the best way, transpersonal psychology is a realm of psychology that is more spiritual per se. A lot of times when you think of psychology, you think of medical diagnoses, those kinds of things. Whereas transpersonal is about yourself. And in the definition, it mentions higher states of consciousness. And that's all about what transpersonal psychology kind of revolves around. Achieving those higher states of consciousness in order to have an elevated way of living, in order to achieve inner peace. So, you might be wondering, how in the heck did I get introduced to transpersonal psychology? So, actually, my high school offered it as a course, and I took it my senior year, and we called transpersonal psychology tripping for short. Through this class, I was taught the different aspects of tripping, such as noticing levels of consciousness and being able to separate my addicted tendencies in order to become more in touch with my inner self, which is also the authentic me. So, I wanted to share a bit about the 7 levels of consciousness. I was able to recover an old worksheet that I got from the class where it defines each level of consciousness. And when I first heard about the 7 levels of consciousness, what came to mind was chakras. So it's kind of similar in the sense, but a consciousness is a level of thinking in a state of being within your mind, whereas chakras are a point in your body, per se. So the first one is security, and in this state of consciousness, you focus on how full of unhappiness and inequality life is, believing you can only be happy when your emotional and physical needs are met. Second would be sensation. And this realm of consciousness is thinking, if only I had, I'd be happy. You're caught up in an endless trap of never having enough. Third is power. And in power, you're busy trying to shape the world and other people to find your model of how the world and people should be. 4, which is love, able to see other people's point of view through their mask, having only preferences for how things should be. And 5 is cornucopia, which in this state of consciousness, you are aware of the beauty of life, appreciating opportunities, whether they appear negative or positive. And I wanted to elaborate more on cornucopia because emotions that can be associated with cornucopia are this feeling of more than enough, perfection, and then this word synchronicity. And according to dictionary.com, synchronicity can be defined as an apparently meaningful coincidence in time of 2 or more similar or identical events that are casually unrelated, which is a term coined by Carl J. Jung, who is an analytical psychologist, and he was also the author of our quote for today. So, a way to make it go full circle. And 6 is conscious awareness. And in conscious awareness, you're stepping back to view a bigger picture, less concerned with the personal self needs and desires, not caught up in life's drama. And the 7th would be cosmic consciousness, and this level of consciousness, you have total connectedness, experiencing no personal self separation. You are one with all. When, especially regarding the 7th level of consciousness, cosmic consciousness, how my instructor described it was, cosmic consciousness is kind of like a projector, and how it's all these little lights that work together to project this one picture. But when you look into it, it's white. But all together, it's all these beautiful colors. So it's kind of like a mixture of things all coming together and being one. Higher state of connectedness overall. And along with the seven levels of consciousness, I also wanted to discuss an activity that we did in class, which is called our onion. So your onion, when you think of an onion, it's like all of these layers, and then once you peel them all back, there's this core. So we did this activity about our onion, where within the layers are these shadows and acts that we develop over time that foreshadow our core, our authentic self. And these shadows and fears are things that we, as the name implies, what we fear that we are. For example, I believe a big fear that I have is that I'm mean or that no one will like me. So sometimes I develop these acts of being too nice, or I wouldn't necessarily say a pushover, but I'm afraid that if I am not overly nice to people, that sometimes they won't like me. So that is an act that I use to try and hide my shadow of being mean. But when you pull back all of those, I am none of those things. I'm Renee. I am beautiful. I'm smart. And no one can ever take that away from me. The whole idea of the onion is that you are not what you fear that you are. You are authentically you, and no one can ever take that away from you. So I hope that maybe by learning about this onion, you can maybe do one of your own and say, hey, what do I fear that I am, and what do I do to compensate for that fear? And tell yourself that fear is not real. That's not who you are. So, to kind of tie everything all in together, what tripping really did for me is, I believe it gave me this huge toolbox that I could take away from this course that I took when I was only 17, 18, and apply those through the rest of my life. Tripping allowed me to be able to find my own inner peace within the chaos of the world. I believe that my strong thought processes that I have and being able to allow myself to take a step back, especially when I feel overwhelmed, and then saying, you know what, I can do this. Like, this is what I want to do, and I'm going to do it. Tripping really allowed me to do that. Especially relating back to the seven levels of consciousness, none of them are bad or good per se, but sometimes you can really find yourself stuck in the bottom three, and you really have to dig deep and reach out and say, notice that I'm stuck in all these fears. And rather than being scared and being in security consciousness and saying I'm not enough and that I can't do any of this, that, you know what? Everything is exactly beautiful the way that it is, and the universe has a plan in place, and you just have to open your eyes and see it sometimes. When you're caught up in all those sensations and fears, in self-doubt, you can't really notice what's right in front of you. I hope this all makes sense. I know that this topic in particular doesn't always necessarily resonate towards everyone. So I hope that you can take this information and apply it in your own life, whichever way you see fit. And thank you so much for listening to this second episode, and I really hope that I was able to give you guys a brief introduction as to what tripping is, and maybe it intrigues you guys to research it on your own. So next week's episode, we will be discussing noticing, which I did hint about a little through this episode. So I hope you guys are intrigued, and until next time on Resilient Butterfly.